We just got back from Young Life Camp. So for those of you who were like, we didn't get an episode last week.
Sorry.
We were not sleeping and playing really hard all week.
We were.
Some would say
we got too sunburned and our muscles got too sore.
So sore that I'm about to go to the doctor to get my muscles unsore.
And I had to do that on Monday. But the apostle, this is early content. Are you ready?
Oh, we don't usually start off with the content. Apostle we Paul just have to wake says people up.
In, was it First Corinthians 12, 15? I'm glad to spend and be spent for your sake.
That's right. Speaking of spending and being spent.
Segue.
That was not a segue at all, actually, because nothing has nothing to do with what I was going to say. I don't know why I said that. But one of my favorite people in the world was a leader with us this week, is a leader with us, and he went to camp with us, and that's his name's Zach Watson. If you've never met him, you're just missing out.
Oh, gosh.
One of my favorite, like...
Isn't it cool that the creativity and the sweetness of God is, like, such that, like, literally, if you don't know this person, you're poorer for it.
Yeah, that's
like,
exactly
when right. You meet him, you'll be richer because he's a gift.
Yes. So there was, like, if you don't, if, I'm assuming a lot of people have not been to Young Life Camp who listen to this. It's amazing. There's just, at all times, there are things flying through the air. Like, there are frisbees, balls, whatever. Just, like, people are throwing things at all times and playing. And there's 500 people there. So there's always crowds and there's always things in the air. And one of my favorite things to behold all week was Zach would just randomly yell heads up. And you don't like it, you're like, oh, that's funny, but you've never heard his voice and how much it carries and how much boom is behind it.
Yeah, there's a lot. First of all, he's a lot.
Yeah.
And like, so his voice is a lot. He's just like, yeah,
he's brilliant. But he would just go, heads, 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 you know. And then you'd see 30 people duck and cover
their
heads.
It's the crescendo.
And there's not a ball anywhere in sight.
It's the crescendo, Thomas. It's the crescendo. It's the buildup. That's what's so brilliant about it. That's what's so smart about it. It's like, it's not just that he sees some people and he's like, hey, heads up.
No. It's like, I'm going to give this my all. As if, like, a bladed frisbee is flying for 30 people's heads.
Oh, gosh. It's like the best kind of improv comedy.
Yeah. Yes. Wait. Yes.
Well, you do a similar thing. So there's a sport called disc golf that a lot of people know about, where you try to throw these little plastic discs into these metal baskets with chains on them, and it's cool and all that. But at Young Life Camp, you play frisbee golf, so you don't use the little disc golf discs, and you don't have the baskets that you have to shoot them into. You're just trying to like throw a frisbee at a wooden post.
Yeah.
So far away from you, and you have this many throws to get it there.
Yeah.
And you walk around the course like golf. Well, as a result, like Thomas said, there's 500 people at this camp. The 18 holes of frisbee golf are scattered all around the camp. And so like every now and then you're walking around and there's just a frisbee laying on the ground. And what happens inevitably when you're playing frisbee golf, inevitably your frisbee will be out there and some kid that's never played frisbee golf will like, they'll pick it up and then they'll try to throw it to you. And you're like, no.
Right.
I'm playing frisbee golf. Just leave that there.
Right.
So Thomas, who's played a lot of frisbee golf and who's very good at it, will just like, when he sees kids playing frisbee golf, he will bend down and pretend to pick up their frisbee just to get inside their heads.
You gotta go full set. Like if you see someone throw it, you like jog to it and you're like, I got it. Like you yell at it. And they just from 80 yards away are waving their arms.
Full panic attack.
No.
No, what's wrong with you? Are you history's greatest monster?
And like, then you just pick it up and then you're like, oh, okay. And then you drop it. It's a great game. But you would just be like, there's a couple places at camp where there's like a hill, like a building up on a hill and there's some steps. And Zach would be up there and his voice would project over the masses. Gosh. Just, heads, 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 everybody heads. There's no ball in sight.
Nothing's happening.
And everyone panics.
And then he just gives you that Zach smile. For as long as I live, we had this time where everybody in the camp was like dancing. And for as long as I live, I don't think I ever will, but let me speak it into existence. May I never live to see a day where I can unsee his Running Man.
He slicked back his hair midway and gave you he would give you a look out of the corner.
And the Running Man, he was running impossibly fast. He was just moving so fast.
Do you remember Travis used to do a Running Man off the diving board?
Oh,
and gosh. It was the funniest. He would just full sprint in the air.
Oh, gosh. That's so amazing. It's also just really fun to be at Sharp Top with Joe Penley and just to see him be Joe in that place.
Yeah.
And just have random people walk up and be like, are you Sharp Top Joe?
Yeah.
For those that don't know, our buddy Joe used to work at Sharp Top Cove, as did his wife Kristen. And they met there and he designed and invented and built a lot of the things that make Sharp Top what it is. And he knows all the secrets and he's just fun to be with there. And if there's a problem, he fixes it. And if somebody's bored, he creates some fun for you to have. And it's like being at camp with people that fun is like such a relaxing experience because you just, it's like you're in the sidecar.
Yeah.
And they're doing all the driving.
Yeah.
That's really fun.
Yeah, it was a fun week.
Welcome to Ancient and New. That's why we didn't have an episode last week. But I'm glad that you wanted me back on the show because Maddie did the last episode and she was amazing.
She did a great job.
I mean, some are saying it should be her podcast. Some are saying they want to start their own podcast and they don't want to listen to this one anymore.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
I don't think they listen anymore at all. We've officially poked the bear too many times. The bear has gotten up and walked away.
Uninterested in food.
It's done. So, thank you, Rob, Jeff, and Austin for formally listening to our podcast. Yeah,
we miss you guys.
All what was 8 listeners is now 5.
Yeah.
So, thank you to you all. I'm sure we'll figure out who you are and mess you away from our show.
That's probably true. Do you have some... We're going to be talking about some scriptures today.
Yeah,
and what probably. They mean to us and the thoughts that they triggered in us.
Yeah.
You got some stuff?
I do have some stuff. Now, this is from a place in scripture that is probably quoted quite a bit. Mm. And usually, whenever I hear it in context, it's in joke form.
Oh.
But not super serious, because to say it seriously would be quite bothersome to somebody.
Okay.
So, I'm going to be in Mark chapter 8. But there's a part of it that I really want to hone in on. Just been kind of trudging through Mark, and which is a book of the Bible I quite enjoy, just because you get a lot of really cool stuff and a lot of excitement and a lot of energy and a lot of rapidity.
Energy is a really good word.
Yeah, and there's one thing I'm a motif I'm picking up on a lot so far. Not a lot, but and I talked about this I think on the last show. It's just how important faith is. And it's kind of...
Oh, did you hear that, Tohi?
Shaking me down a little bit. We're recording outside for the first time in a long time. You know what we haven't done in a long time is drive and record, which is probably for the betterment of our families and our safety. We used to
do
record
that one time we recorded that podcast driving in your truck and we saved a turtle?
No. I see you remember us.
And then Rob, our social media supervisor and Photoshop guru, Photoshopped us riding a turtle dressed as Rambo.
Golly, I wish he would listen to our show again, but he's fired
me
us.
Too.
We lost our content director.
Gosh.
Well, he probably didn't pay him enough.
That's certainly true. Okay, sorry. Book of Mark.
Clearly a joke because we don't get paid to do this.
Yeah, therefore we definitely aren't paying anybody
to do this. We accept no ads. Though we've never been asked because we don't have that much of a footprint. Okay. Anyways, Mark chapter 8. I'm going to start in verse 33.
Back up.
Yeah, I'll start in verse 32. Jesus is talking about, he's predicting what's about to happen to him in Jerusalem. And he's going to be rejected by the elders. He's going to be killed. All this stuff that's going to happen. In verse 32, he said, he spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned around, when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Okay.
Tough.
I'm gonna scoot past the "get behind me, Satan." Mm-hmm. 'Cause again, if I ever said that to you in seriousness, we'd probably be in trouble.
It'd be a hard day for us.
I have heard you say that about like M&Ms before.
"Get behind me, Satan."
Yeah.
Like it's a temptation.
Yeah.
Yeah. "Get behind me, Satan."
Yeah. About like peanut M&Ms and puppy chow, which whatever. Yeah. But okay. So the thing I really want to focus on is you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And this is a thing I found myself like, it jumped off the page at me quite a bit when I was reading this, just the idea of like, what is my heart set on in the world? Is it the things of God or is it all the other stuff? Is it the concerns of what the Lord wants me to care about? Or am I giving a lot of energy to things that aren't of his kingdom, aren't of his accord? And all that can sound a little bit like, I think the first place my mind went to when I read this, and I'm wondering if that's the case for a lot of people, is like, okay, like macro, what is God's will for my life and how can I live it? And a lot of times I think that's a big question for people. Like, what does God want me to do? Big picture. Who does he want me to be? How does he want me to live things out? Where does he want me to go? Who does he want me to marry? What career does he want me to take? Where, you know, all these are like, these are great questions. Say it.
It's all the categories in that game MASH that we used to play as little kids. Do you remember MASH? Did you ever play that?
Is it the thing with the thing?
No, not the thing with the thing. It's, he was mimicking a fortune teller.
Yeah, okay.
The little paper or...
I did play MASH. I don't remember what it was.
Cootie catcher. You have M-A-S-H, mansion, apartment. Shack.
Shanty.
House. And then you had other things like three different people, four different jobs.
That's right.
And then you like...
It would tell you who you marry, where you're going to live.
On the back of the paper, you like draw concentric circles until somebody tells you to stop.
That's right.
And then you count the rings. And then that's how you anyway, it's ludicrous. But it's the thing that we did in middle school. And...
What if you went back in time and found out in fifth grade, your MASH... told you all this.
House, Christy Younger, who
you
I
will
not,
live on
Christy a Job, who I did DMs. Not know.
Yeah.
Three kids.
Right.
Pastor.
Right.
I don't think any of those things were on my MASH sheet except for House.
Yeah. So, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I only say that because that game, which occurred to middle schoolers everywhere, that's the stuff we want to know. That's what occurs to us when we think about God's will.
Right.
What am I going to do? Who am I going to marry? What's my job going to be?
Right. Which... speaking from experience, that can be a complete blinder to anything else the Lord puts in your life. So, like, have you ever seen those? Have you ever watched any of the big horse races?
Like the Kentucky Derby?
Yes.
And Belmont?
Yes.
The Preakness and the Belmont Stakes?
Yes. So, like, one thing that I learned in my time in the horse world, which if you're like, Thomas had a time in the horse world, I did, is that certain horses don't do well in that environment. Like there's thousands of people and then there's a ton of, you know, there's horses on either side and then there's jockeys on either side of them flailing their arms, trying to get the horses to run. So what they do is they put shields on the outside of their eyes.
Right.
Literally, like you can't see what I'm doing right now, but like they have like these like shields that literally create tunnel vision for them. So all they can see is right in front of them, just right there, which like now that I'm verbalizing this sounds like a cool thing, but what I'm trying, like the picture I'm trying to draw is like, I think it's really easy for us. And again, speaking from experience,
yeah,
like it's really easy for us to hone in on the MASH. Like it's really easy for us to think, okay, what is God's will for my life? Like AKA, when's he going to give me the person that I'm going to be with? When's that big job that is going to change my life? And I think that's a lot of times, that's what a lot of people would boil it down to. When I get X, Y, or Z, I will be happy. Whatever it is.
For sure.
Right. So, like, whenever that one thing happens that I've been praying for forever, whenever that thing happens I've been praying for forever, like, all of my worries, fears, doubts, all those things are going to go away, and I'm finally going to be complete. So, like, and I think that's a trap. So, do I think those are things you should pray for? Absolutely. Do I think they're the end all be all of God's will for my life? No. Like, there's a micro level to this question that honestly doesn't require a ton of prayer. If you just think about it, like, do you do not have in mind the concerns of God? Like, if I were to ask you, Lee, what are the concerns of God? Like, what are things that, like, drive his heart according to the scriptures? What are things that he is, like, really passionate about? What would your answer be?
Off the top of my head, it's caring about people.
Right, caring about people, yeah. Loving people, right. Being kind to people, justice, mercy. Those things
having
are, like,
your eyes open.
Having your eyes open. So, like, that, to me, just completely takes those blinders off, and it gives you way more, like, flexibility in the sense that, like, there are things that God wants for our life every day that we can do.
Yeah.
And, like, not to say that we should, I'm not saying, like, I need this to be very loud and clear. You absolutely should pray about those things. There are daily drivers of things that the Lord is asking us to do that are his concerns that, like, that we should never lose sight of because we're so focused on macro things. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's very cool. And, like, I like how you said, yeah, pray about those things, but, like, open the aperture and the bandwidth so that you see all this other stuff that's going right on, you know, and just that there's someone in your world today who is hurting or feels lonely and could use some encouragement or an outreach. Like, let's just say that. There's somebody in your world today that's hurting and could use, or lonely and could use some outreach.
Yeah.
That's the concerns of God.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm going to follow Maddie's trend from last week and read something.
Are you going to be in Mark as well?
From the Message. Oh. No. I'm going to be in the book of Luke in,
Luke.
In chapter 14. In chapter 14, there's a thing where Jesus talks about...
there's a trade-off for us doing this outside. Just like, we get to be outside. But also, you're getting about 48% of me. Because there are birds everywhere.
I know, there was a... I just saw the pileated woodpecker fly into that maple tree. I'm not kidding.
It was... I could see it over here in that cedar tree.
It was big.
Its partner was calling it just a second ago.
Well, it's in that maple tree right now, unless it flew off. But... in Luke chapter 14, Jesus was just telling a story about, he tells that story about, like, if you get invited to a dinner party, don't take the place of highest honor because, what if somebody more important than you rolls in and then the host of the dinner party scoots you back to the back of the room?
Yeah.
Instead, take the seat of least honor and then you might get elevated. So that led to something. In verse 15, it says, that triggered a response from one of the guests. How fortunate the one who gets to eat dinner in God's kingdom. Jesus followed up, yes, for there was once a man who threw a great dinner party and invited many. When it was time for dinner, he sent out his servant and invited guests, saying, come in, the food's on the table. Then they all began to beg off, one after another, making excuses. The first said, I bought a piece of property and need to look over it. Send my regrets. Another said, I just bought 5 teams of oxen and I really need to check them out. Send my regrets. And another said, I just got married and need to get home to my wife. The servant went back and told the master what had happened. He was outraged and told the servant, quickly, get out into the streets and alleys. Collect all who look like they need a square meal. All the misfits and homeless and wretched you can lay your hands on and bring them here. A servant reported back, Master, I did what you commanded. There's still room. The master said, then go to the country roads. Whoever you find, drag them in. I want my house full. And I like that story anyway, but I really love the way that Eugene Peterson rendered it in the Message. Just the way he says, like, I want misfits and outcasts. And then we got those. There's still room. Okay, now go out in the country. Literally, whoever you find, just drag them in. And my heart is, I want them all. I want my house full.
Yeah.
I want dinner guests and nice clothes. I want people that can't afford nice clothes. I want everybody here. I want everybody here. I want everybody at my table eating.
Yeah.
Thomas said that we got to spend a week at Young Life Camp. And if you don't know what it is, it's We literally spent the year getting to know high school kids in our local town's high school. And then we invite them to come with us to have a week of adventuring and playing and not having their phone and just becoming kids. Mm. And then they hear the story of Jesus. And we got to watch kids understand for the first time the message of Jesus in a way that they could get it and say yes to the offer that he's making for forgiveness and new life and a place with him. And I think the thing that I can't get over is, as fun as that was, as fulfilling as that was, as exciting and as tender as all that was, he feels that so much more. Like, he wanted us there. He wanted that thing to be done. He wants that work to be done because he's got a big table full of really great food, and he wants everybody there. Mm-hmm. He wants all kinds of people. He wants people that people would be surprised at. He wants everybody eating there at his table. And I think the thing that it's cool to spend a long time chasing down high school kids and then raise money and take them to a week of Young Life camp. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
But he wants me in this work all the time. Like, in the sense of, like, who is somebody I know that, as far as I know, they don't know the Lord. Okay. I just thought of two people, my own age, that I hang out with and spend time with. They don't know the Lord. And I want to pray for them. I want to pray for conversations. I want to pray for chances to have coffee with them or chances to go on a run. And that maybe one day I'll have an opening and the window and a chance to invite them to dinner.
Right.
It's one of these things that I think that people are intimidated about, the idea of, like, how am I supposed to tell people about Jesus? I don't know who to tell. Everybody I know is saved. Probably not, but, like, and I'm nervous that I'm going to offend somebody. And I heard Jed Brewer say this thing one time, which was, if a brand new restaurant opens in your town and you go to it and it's amazing, you don't feel one bit bad telling your friends about it.
Right.
You don't feel like you're going to offend them.
Right.
You're like, dude, I ate at this place. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Like, the entrees are so good, but the appetizers are crazy.
Right.
You're going to love this.
Right.
Or if you see a movie that you just think was the funniest movie you've ever seen, you don't feel one bit bad just, like, sharing with somebody, like, oh. And I think it's the same thing in conversations with someone who's lonely or hurting, just looking for the window and just saying, look, I'm not trying to push anything on you, but can I tell you that I have found some acceptance, and like, I used to feel more lonely than I do now, and it's because I found someone,
right?
And I think that you would love him,
right?
Anyway, I just think about the heart of God, and his heart is, I want my house full,
right?
And I don't want there to be an empty seat at the table, because I love people and I want them here,
right? And, like, my experience with this, which I don't have a ton of experience with this exact story, in the sense that I'm, like, going to go grab people off the street and bring them into a party.
Right.
But I would imagine if that were the case, oh, dude, you got a spider going straight up the chest.
I get it. Thomas is laughing so hard.
I've never seen that move from you. Anyways.
You didn't know I was that quick.
It was amazing. I can't imagine if this were the case, and, like, I was walking down a country street and I saw somebody sitting and I said, hey, I have a massive party that I'm throwing and I want you there. I think it would be fairly well received, as far as, you know, like, I think they would be pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
And I don't think I often think of, like, the idea of, like, telling people about Jesus in the same way. I have a lot more timidity about it now. Like, and just like what you're saying, in reality, if I knew I was having a fantastic feast with a ton of open seats and I was being told by the person actually throwing the feast to go tell anyone I wanted to about it, I would do it as fast. Like, I wouldn't stop sprinting until I got everybody I wanted there.
Nobody loves the next meal more than Thomas.
Right. Well, yeah, that's exactly right. But I'm just saying all that to say, like, in my experience, the, like, good has far outweighed the negative response to this.
Yeah.
Even people who like don't want this are often very kind about it. And I find myself more often than not saying, I wish I would have that conversation sooner than I did. And I wish, wow. I wish I would have gone there quicker than I did. There was a time, I was telling someone about this the other day, where I knew this kid at Oak Ridge High School for 4 years. I talked to him in the hallway for 4 years. We struck up conversations. We were on a first name basis. We had, high fives and like smiles and stuff. And then like spring of his senior year, I was just like, why don't you come to Young Life Club? And his response was, no one's ever asked me. And I was like, God, I'm the biggest dummy in the world. It was just so silly. And then he came to camp and met the Lord. It was amazing. But like, that's not a brag on me. That's me saying like, why didn't I do that sooner? And this is not me throwing shame at anybody, but I think my experience more often than not is I wish I would have done that quicker. People are, I don't know. I think people are needy and thirsty for it. I think people are hungry. Yes. That's a cool thing about this story is like people are hungry. They're looking for something. And a lot of times they haven't heard it clearly. Cicadas are having fun over there, aren't they?
It's one of the things that I love about the presentation of the good news in the New Testament is that the way that Jesus in particular talks about it is things that everybody understands so deeply and easily. Like, are you thirsty? Do you know what thirst feels like?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know what homesick feels like? Do you want to go home?
Yeah.
Do you know what hungry feels like? Do you want to eat?
Yeah.
Like, those are... Do you know what dark feels like? Do you want some light? Those are such transferable concepts, and they're so... It plays in exactly to what you're saying, which is like, hungry people want to eat.
Yeah.
Lonely people want a friend. Desperate people want some hope.
Right.
And I think the thing that I feel is we have all that.
Right.
We have hope and light.
Right.
And food and water.
That's right.
For hungry, thirsty people in the dark.
Yeah.
And, and he wants his party to be full.
Right.
And I love, there's something about the way that this little rendering of it in the message, there's something about it that just makes me love the Father's heart that he's like, I want my house full.
Right.
Literally drag anybody in here. I want my house full.
Yeah.
There's a song that, I think I'm going to reference this on Sunday morning, but
bring it.
There's a song written by a guy named Gregory Porter who, he's just kind of talking about just for some reason, how big and shiny and fancy some Christian stuff is and how impressive and amazing some Christian stuff dresses itself up to be.
Yeah.
He says, let me see if I can get these lyrics right. Oh, they gild their houses in preparation for the king, and they line their sidewalks with every sort of shiny thing, but they will be surprised when they hear him say, take me to the alley.
It's a good one.
Take me to the afflicted ones. Take me to the lonely ones who somehow lost their way. Let them hear me say, I am your friend. Come to my table. Rest here in my garden. You will have a pardon. It's just, that's his heart.
Yeah.
His heart is for the misfits and the lonely and the outcast, and he wants them all, baby. That's and right. So Young Life Camp was fun, and it was sweet, and it was deep, and now I just want to pray it all over again. Who else in my life is hungry and needs some food? Who else is thirsty and needs a drink? Who's in the dark and needs some light? Who is desperate and needs some hope?
Right. That's cool.
It is cool.
I wish he would let us use that song. But neither of us know him. And he's quite famous.
He's super extremely famous.
He's got a beautiful voice. You should just go listen to it.
He had a song at the end of the Fantastic Beasts movie, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
White-breasted nuthatch.
Wow. I heard the Eastern Towhee and there it was. Yeah. We both heard it.
There was a mockingbird just chased a cicada and almost caught it, and it flew off. And
mockingbirds, man, they go after crows like nobody's business. They're like pugilists.
Yeah, they couldn't care less. Although I watched one, it was either that or a blue jay get pinned down by a Cooper's hawk in the middle of my street the other day, and just Cooper's hawk just rocked back and forth on it. Bro.
Oh goodness, guys, thanks for joining us. We're glad to be back. I am Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been, which by the way, I need to say, when on Maddie's episode, when she said to you, "Oh, Thomas, you're ancient and I'm new."
Yeah,
because you're older than me.
It's a running bit in our marriage. My wife always reminds me how close I am to 30.
Oh god.
Which I still have 2 years, but she just will say it like, "Your next birthday is your 29th, and then it's your 30th, and then you'll be 30 and old."
Old.
My wife's 25. She's 3 years younger than me.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess she gets to say that to you.
Yeah.
Hey, stay tuned for, this episode, another probably normal episode, and then we might have some stuff in store for you because I am going to Spain.
Got it lined up, baby.
Hopefully.
One time we recorded a message or an episode in Spain.
That was great.
Antigua y Nueva.
Yeah, that was awesome. This has been Ancient and New.
Bye.
Jesus is a mighty Savior. Helpless souls here have a friend. He has borne their misbehavior, and his mercy knows no end. Oh, ye helpless, come. And on his grace depend. He to save your souls from ruin shed his blood upon the tree. Oh, ye needy, haste unto him. His salvation's full and free. Thoughtless sinners shall his great salvation see. Yes, the very worst of sinners upon his grace rely shall of endless bliss be winners, and shall sing beyond the sky. Songs of praises to the Lamb that once did die.